Hello and welcome to another episode of Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meets biblical wisdom. My name is Joseph Kolawole Ola. In today's episode, I would be a lone ranger, in a manner of speaking. One of our boys need attention at the moment when we are recording this, so my wife is attending to that. That said, of course, for those that are not new here, you already know what we do. But for those that might be listening for the very first time on this podcast, we basically reflect on African proverbs through the lens of the scriptures. And so far, we do that from the Yoruba tradition. So Yoruba proverbs, we look at them and then explore it from biblical perspectives. We do this for at least two reasons. One is to spotlight some of these proverbs and bring them to the knowledge or the awareness of, you know, the millennial generation, which tend to be the majority of our audience in that sense. But on the other hand, of course, is also then to pinpoint the fact that there has always been, quote and unquote, the wisdom of God that has been at work, even amongst our ancestors, who brought forth many of these wise sayings, because as we would see, many of the things they are saying contain in and of themselves some fundamental truths that are very biblically sound and in alignment with scriptures. Today's proverb is about money. I'm not sure if we've had any episode on money before, but today's proverb is exactly on that. It's about money. And the proverb goes like this: Aje nimba uju oreje. Aje nimba uju oreje. And of course, the interpretation of that is that it is money that brings a frown to the brow of friendship. If friendship were to be typified like an eyebrow, it is money that brings a frown to that highbrow of friendship. The meaning is pretty much quite obvious. It's basically saying that nothing ruins a friendship more surely than the intrusion of money. In other words, when money enters the equation, there's every tendency that what had been a good friendship can easily go down the drain. And I think basically the proverb is, amongst other things, spotlighting the sensitivity of money and making us to want to consider our attitude towards it in that regards. In my interaction with my wife before we started recording the podcast, before Samuel says he wouldn't want us to do it together. but yeah, before we started recording, one of the things she mentioned when we were trying to reflect on this together was immediately in the context of marriage. Like, that just comes up pretty much quickly. I think I haven't seen the research myself, but I think I've heard either anecdotally or otherwise that one of the top three things that's scatter marriages, of course, would be money. The other two then being sex and I think communication, something like that. Like, when there is bad communication, lack of communication, or inadequate communication. So communication, money, sex, yeah, I think would fit into some of the top three issues. So what I would do in this proverb, reflecting on this particular proverb through the lens of scripture, is to spotlight some other things that the scripture says categorically about money and about our attitude to it, which can, one way or the other, contribute to the potential that money has to degenerate friendships and relationships in that regard. One would be to, if either party in this friendship or relationship has the attitude of laziness, you know. The Bible has many things to say about being lazy as opposed to working and earning a living in a very just manner. For instance, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4 says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. If either party in a friendship or partnership or marriage even, in which case money brings them together, if either party is not doing their due diligence in, you know, bringing in their quota just by mere lackadaisical attitude or just pretty much laziness, then of course that can eventually lead to, you know, some degenerating effects on that particular relationship, partnership or friendship or marriage, as the case may be. Another thing that comes to mind from that regards would be attitude towards saving, especially in the context of marriage, for instance. There is always the likelihood that one party will be a saver and the other party will be a spender. And if that dynamic is not well managed, it can lead to some serious troubles on the long run in the relationship. And so, Bible says, for instance, again in Proverbs 13:11, that dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Emphasis on that last part: when you gather money little by little, you make it grow. And not just gathering to consume it immediately, but gathering to put away in some sense, either in investment or practically to just save it. You're gradually, you know, making it grow. So finding a perfect balance in managing the dynamics between spending and saving can also be a very crucial point in this potential for money to lead to the degeneration of a friendship, of a partnership, of a relationship, or even of a marriage. So that's one aspect. Another aspect would be the attitude of greed. You know, maybe one party is a giver, the other party is ever so stingy. Those dynamics as well can lead to some serious tensions that could eventually lead to, you know, the degeneration of a relationship in that regards. What can that look like? Greed. What can that look like? That can look like, you know, get rich quick schemes. And of course, the Bible is clear, ever so clear about that point. For instance, in Proverbs 1:19, it says, "Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain." It takes away the life of those who get it. So if one party in a friendship, relationship, partnership, marriage is given to greed, it's a disaster waiting to happen. That has the capacity to degenerate that relationship on the long run. We don't want to have the attitude of greed when it comes to money. But I think probably more than any other attitude towards money would be around the issue of debts, borrowing and not repaying and things like that. I mean, debts are a big deal when it comes to relationships. It has the capacity to literally crumble a relationship, especially in the context of borrowing and not repaying, as at when due or based on agreement and things like that. And so that needs to be approached with much caution, and sometimes it needs to be spelled out clearly how that should be managed right from when the agreement is being made. We don't want to take friendships for granted and just say, okay, lend me this, and then without, you know, repaying that which is lent in that sense. And speaking about debts, the Bible is clear. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." The borrower is slave to the lender. Just that dynamic of the person lending being a slave master and the person borrowing being a slave, when that kind of dynamic is imposed upon what is supposed to be a friendship, we can begin to see the possible tensions that can arise and the possible implications of that kind of dynamic. And so we just need to approach it really cautiously and to be mindful of that. I think the one and clear, helpful attitude towards money, besides generosity, which should guard our money management and how that, you know, bears upon our relationships, will be stewardship and accountability, knowing that first and foremost, anything that we have, our money is inclusive, are not ours. We've been given these things to steward them and to use them, you know, appropriately, especially as believers, to use them accountably for the glory of God. And so that would be where I will land this conversation. So yes, money is crucial, money is important, money is significant, money is powerful, but at the same time, money can absolutely destroy a relationship, a friendship, a partnership, or even a marriage. And as you go into this week, just trust God for wisdom to be able to manage that which He has committed into your hands, including your financial resources, so that at the end of it all, we bring Him glory and honor and praise. I think my last words, just as I land this finally, will be to tie this subject back to even the name of this podcast, Omoluabi Podcast. And Omoluabi is someone that is able to, at least in the Yoruba tradition, is supposed to be, you know, someone that has grown to become a good model for others to follow. And that would necessarily mean is a good model in speech, in diligence, in respect, but of course as well in managing money. And so on that note, we hope to be back next week, my wife and I, as we take on another proverb. But till then, remain an Omoluabi. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.